not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark. Welcome to the Wheeler General Store Happy Hour. And guess what? As Miss Jill Mitter would say, Happy Friday. So anyway, she does it way better than I do. Anyway, let's check out some temperatures. It's 92 at Beaver, 88 at the May Ranch, 89 at Lahoma, 91 at Kingfisher, 89 at Watonga, 90 at Elk City. According to the Gabe Gadget Mesonet Center here in the studio, it's 88.2, but we'll go with that. 91 at Hollis, and the warm spot in the whole state of Oklahoma is like a four-way tie, but in our listening area, it's Hobart at 92 degrees out here in the Texas Panhandle. Canadians, 92, 90 at Wellington, 92 at Odell, and 88 at McLean. Got a lot going on today. Today, in our third segment, we'll continue our three-part series. This will be part two with Gary McManus, Oklahoma State climatologist and Oklahoma Mesonet guru. I don't know if you guys, I know a lot of the farmers and ranchers do, but for all you listeners out there, if you haven't downloaded the Oklahoma Mesonet app on your phone, you're missing out. It's got a lot of cool stuff on it, and it's as him and I will talk about today, it's one of the most advanced Mesonet systems in the United States. They kind of set the deal between the Oklahoma Mesonet, OSU, and OU. They've done a really good job. If you don't believe me, use the other Mesonet. So they're coming. I'm not downplaying like the West Texas Mesonet. It just got a ways to catch up with the Oklahoma one, and the same thing with the Kansas Mesonet. And those are the only ones I've really checked out. But they're all good. They all help a lot. All right, let's see what hey, we're live on Facebook today, I think. Somebody check it out and send me a text in that I'm on air. We got it all going again. We're live on our KCO Facebook page. We're live on the KCOFM.com. On our website, we're live on 100.1 KWFX out of Woodward, and of course 96.5 KECO here. And if you're out of the listening area of the on your radio, you can always download our free app, the Paragon Communications. And oh, cool! My partner in crime just sent me a message, Jill Metter. Facebook is working. Thank you, ma'am. And can't wait to hear some of your two-week stories of your being away from home and at college. See what's going on with that. So anyway, we got that all going. So let's check out what happened. We got a new computer, too, so you guys bear with me, too. I've got things going on that usually don't happen with me and the old computer. This new computer is pretty sophisticated. Anyway. Soybean and grain futures were higher in overnight trading amid dry weather in much of the U.S. Midwest heading into the weekend. Dry weather is expected in several states today and into the weekend, including parts of Colorado and Kansas in the southern plains and Minnesota and Wisconsin in the northern Corn Belt. According to data from the National Weather Service, little or no rain has fallen across much of the upper Midwest in the past week. National Weather Service data show much of South Dakota, eastern Nebraska, Iowa, northern Illinois, and Indiana haven't seen rain in the past 7 days. Guess what? We haven't seen rain probably the last 3 or 4 weeks. About 58% of the U.S. soybean crop was in good or excellent condition in the start of the week, down from 59% 7 days earlier, according to the Department of Agriculture. 5% of the crop was dropping leaves and 91% was setting pods. About 56% of the corn crop earned top ratings as of Sunday, down from 58% of the previous week. 9% of the U.S. corn was mature at the start of the week. 51 was Dennett, 51% was Dennett, and 88 was in the Doe stage, according to the USDA. Soybeans for November delivery dropped 13.5 cents to 13.82 1/4 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal gained 5.10 to 4.09 1/10 a short ton, while soy oil added 0.62 to 63.1 cents a pound. Corn futures for December delivery rose 3.5 cents to 4.81 3/4 a bushel. Wheat futures for December delivery gained 7 cents to 6.09 a bushel, while Kansas City futures rose 8.5 cents to 7.35 3/4 cents a bushel. Sales of corn for delivery in the 23-24 marketing year that starts today were higher week to week, while soybean sales were lower, according to data from the United States Department of Agriculture. Export sales of corn rose to 991,000 metric tons. That's up from 673,000 tons a week earlier. Mexico, the big buyer, 644,000 tons, followed by an unnamed country of 111,000 tons, and Japan was at 80,000. Even Panama bought 37,000 tons. How about that? Exports for the week were reported at 663,400 metric tons. That's up 34% week to week. Soybeans, meanwhile, were lower week to week, falling to 1.12 million metric tons compared to 1.22 million metric tons week prior to that. Unknown destination took 399,400 metric tons. Mexico bought 184,000. China, 392,000 tons. Japan bought 50,000, and even Taiwan bought 30,000 tons. Exports for soybeans for the week were reported at 319,700 metric tons, and that's down 29% from the previous week. Red flag warnings, an indicator of extremely dry weather, has been issued in counties in eastern Colorado and western Kansas, according to the National Weather Service. Winds will be sustained today from 20 to 25 miles an hour, with gusts up to 35 miles an hour. According to the National Weather Service, in the report it said earlier this morning, speeds will diminish slightly tomorrow to 15 to 20 miles an hour, with gusts up to 30 miles an hour. Humidity will fall as low as 11% on both days. Any fires that are started during the afternoon may quickly become out of control. Conditions are favorable for wildfires in parts of Wisconsin as well. Warm weather, low humidity, and winds gusting up to 20 miles an hour today will increase fire weather conditions. Additional fire weather conditions are expected this weekend as the warming trend continues and the winds get breezier. I was thinking about that yesterday after talking to a fireman in our listening area. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that I bet we have some fire bans start happening here in the next few 2 to 3, 4 weeks. We got all the fuel in the world from the rains we had in June and parts of July and late May. And we just got big grass out there, and it's getting dry. And from what I seen in the Long Ranger forecast there about 30 minutes ago, there's no rain in the forecast for at least the next 15 days as of right now. Well, let's take a break. When I come back, we'll give you an update on the grain market. Talk a little bit about the Wheeler General Store over there in Wheeler, Texas. And we got some cattle reports from up north on feeder calves and just regular calves. We'll have that report coming up to you pretty quick. And what else do I have? I don't know. It's Labor Day weekend. We got a 3-day weekend, some of us do, coming up this weekend. Elk City Rodeo of Champions starts tonight. The parade's tomorrow. And I'll be throwing tomatoes and eggs out of the vehicle I'll be in tomorrow, so stay out of my line of fire tomorrow if you want to. Might be good. No, I'm just kidding. I'll be throwing candy out. Anyway, I asked the boss about tomatoes and eggs, and he vetoed that really, really quick. Fun hater. Anyway, we'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
We're open on Saturdays from 9 to noon, full service lobby. We have new accounts there, personal bankers. We have loan guys there. We have tellers. You can do anything you need to do on a Saturday in the lobby. It helps a lot of people who are out of town that need to come do banking business, or people that work Monday through Friday and can't get in with our hours. They can come on a Saturday. That's one of the things that makes us different. I'm Elizabeth Mosley, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Hey neighbors, Ron Hayes for SEI Agritech in Elk City. You know, SEI is ready to help you with all your fall cover crops. They offer a multi-species blend that's great for grazing and hay. Plus, it'll help to address your soil health goals. So give the good folks a call at SEI Agritech today at 580-225-0317. That's 580-225-0317. Or stop by and see them on South Randall in Elk City today.
You've heard us talking about the 30-year-old ratchet that Napa replaced, no questions asked. A customer had a question about that particular transaction and that particular policy of replacing tools regardless of age. He walked into the Elk City Napa store and asked, "Do you guys really do that?" And the answer was, "We replaced two last week."
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
You worked and you sweat and you worried for months over your crop. So why are you giving away part of the profit to someone else? Cut out the middleman. Keep your grain on your farm. Keep your money for yourself. A grain bin on your farm will never depreciate as long as you use it. And it'll make you as much money as you want it to make. Store your own grain in your own bin. Wall Bin Hoppers. Take a look at their website, wallequip.com. Wallequip.com. You did all the work. You should keep all the profit.
Cattle have to eat. When grass runs short and you want to strengthen your herd, go with HiPro. For HiPro, go to Cowman's. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply in Erie specializes in bulk feed. It's always in stock, and prices are good. And the way they take care of you is even better. If Gary Mills says he'll do it, it gets done every time. It's nice to know a place like Cowman's is around to help ag producers here at home. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply, 117 West 2nd in Erie. Call 526-3070.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, August 25th. I'm Drew Cobb. 1,466 head were sold. 4 head of steers at 318 brought 348. 3 at 410 brought 330. 8 at 424 brought 320. 6 at 438 brought 314. 15 at 726 brought 239. 11 at 726 brought 253. 4 at 736 brought 237. 6 head of heifers at 374 brought 288. 9 at 450 brought 283. 7 at 535 brought 256. 12 at 552 brought 244. 14 at 622 brought 233. 5 at 668 brought 226. 15 at 683 brought 243. Butcher cows were 64 to 119.50. Butcher bulls brought 40 to 129. Bred cows were 900 to 24.25. Pairs brought 1585 to 3400. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095. That's Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back to the Wheeler General Store Hour. I've picked Miami, Texas for your weather update out in the Panhandle. 92 degrees, heat index of 90, humidity is 26 and dropping, dew points 53. The winds are out of the south at 14 miles an hour. Peak wind gusts so far today, 22 miles an hour. Of course, no month-to-date precipitation so far, and no red flag minutes today. 8-inch soil temperature in Miami, 79 degrees. Well, the Wheeler General Store is the go-to store in Wheeler County. From animal feed and farm and ranch supplies to paint and barbecue supplies, they are a one-stop shop. The Wheeler General Store has been serving the Texas Panhandle for over 30 years. The owners, Nathan and Charity Heffley, take pride in knowing when you walk into their store, their team will be there ready to help you with all your product needs. Being a do-it-best store in a small town makes it easy and affordable to get products that are hard to find in a timely manner. Keep your farm and ranch running properly with all the items that they offer. Delivering feed, that's their specialty. They have been a HiPro dealer for over 10 years. They deliver feed to ranches and stores all over the Texas Panhandle, Kansas, Oklahoma, and New Mexico. Located at 15868 Highway 152, just outside of Wheeler, they look forward to serving you. Well, as you heard, if you were listening to Jared's award-winning news right before the show started, dove season opened today. I'm already seeing pictures on Facebook of some major dove hunts going on. I mean, just the luck's good. There's a lot of dove out there right now. Anyway, remember, this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, is your free hunting weekend, and you don't have to have your hip, but you do have to have a plug in your shotgun. So don't forget that. Don't give the game wardens a reason to issue a citation. So just remember, that's the key thing. Put a plug in your gun. Either that or just go buy you an over and under or side by side. You don't have to worry about them things right there. But anyway, it did open today. Hopefully you're not out there hunting without a license or anything, because they'll get you today. So anyway, I appreciate Lieutenant James Edward coming on the other day, and very informative. And I mean, we had tire slashers from Panhandle up there all the way down here. I don't remember. Oh, shooting big bucks that were knocking bowls off of cotton. It was a pretty interesting group of people that I have that listen to the show. All right, let's see what's happening with the grain markets here. Get an update. There we go. It's good. Corn for September, 466. It's up over 5. December, 483. March, 498. May, 506. Soybeans for September, it's up a little bit, not much, but 1360. November, 1372. January, 1386. Soybean meal for September, 417 even. It's down, looks like $1.70. October, 402.10. $400.70 on December. Soybean oil for September is $66.60. October, $65.06. December, $63.58. And hard red winter wheat, September, it's up 3 cents today at $7.29 a bushel. December is at $7.25. Oats for September, they're going backwards now. They were going up. The December futures made it to $5 earlier in the week, but it's going backwards now. September oats, $4.69, down 5. December, $4.84, down 88. Just down 8, sorry. Cotton, it's down a little bit from what it was yesterday, but it's still hanging in there. October cotton's at 88. December cotton's at 87.82. What's sugar daddy doing today? Crying or celebrating? He might be celebrating a little bit. Sugar for October, 25 cents a pound. All right, live cattle for October, 180.12. December's 184.10. February's 188.25. April's 192.12. September feeders, 251.70. They're down $1.57. October feeders are 254.62, down $1.40. Still really good. Lean hogs for October, 83, up 45 cents. December, 74.50, up 17. And February is 78.92. What's oil doing today? Oil's up over $2. At West Texas Intermediate is at 85.64 for October, 84.81, up $1.85 for November. Natural gas for October's up a little bit, like 2 cents at 2.79. And anything else going on? Looks like the S&P and the Nasdaq's down. Dow's up just a little bit. Japanese yen's down. The British pound's down. The Euro FX is down. Mexican peso's down. And the Canadian dollar's down. How about that in that order? Okay, let me get back over to this other computer. Here's what some cotton, what did you tell me there, Mr. JR? Cotton December, 90.47. All right, thank you. Let's see here. Cattle in the north part of Oklahoma at the sale barns this week, quite a few sold, over 4,000 head, compared to not very many last week. Compared to last week, feeder steers are $2 to $4 higher, feeder heifers are $3 to $6 higher or lower, and steer and heifer calves unevenly steady on a light test of weaned calves. Demand was moderate, quality was average. So let's see what happened up north. We have some 4 to 5 weights bringing anywhere from 265 to 298. Looks like around 280 was the average. And then on some 5 to 6 weights, we got 528s bringing 279. And then we're unwinged. And then we got some more 582s brought up to 264, and they were unwinged. 600 pounders, let's find some weaned ones. 679, winged 261. 726 pounders, winged 254, 247, 45 was that average. Pretty nice chunk of change there. Then we have some weaned ones that weighing 811 brought 247. Some 9 weights was bringing up to 242.50. There's some 1,000 pounders, 243 head of them actually, weighing 1,028, brought 229.43. Do the math on that one. These are steers. Let's check out some of the heifers. We have some 4 weight weaned brought 261. 432 was their weight. Some 634 weaned brought 259. Some 787 heifers weaned brought 228.69 on average. Some 929s brought 255. Anyway, there you go. Market's still good, even though I know it's down a few bucks from last week. It's still really good. And you know, I was talking to a couple guys this morning, you know, down there in northern Texas, where like by Wichita Falls and then all in that area there, they hadn't had any rain in a long time, and they're probably getting ready to either move some cattle, sell some cattle, do something down there, buy some hay, whatever. And anyway, it's still there. I didn't get to do the hay market Tuesday because we had guests on the from Woodward on the show with me. So later on, after we talk with Oklahoma State climatologist Gary McManus, we will, the last segment, I'll get you guys caught up on some of the hay. Well, let's take a Wheeler General Store break. When I come back, we'll have Gary McManus on the show.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton? It's easier than you think. Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlantersCottonGin.com.
That life insurance that I have on myself, it's not for me. It's for my wife, that she doesn't have to sell the home. She doesn't have to go worry about how am I going to make this car payment? How am I going to come up with the cost out of pocket to pay this funeral? Because, you know, that's an expensive cost. And it's a cost that you're going to have. If you had a machine in your garage that made money, it was a money-making machine. You went out every day and you flipped the switch on that machine and it generated money to pay your bills. Would you insure that machine? I've never had anybody say no. Sure they would. Well, you are that machine. You flip your switch on every morning when you get up. You flip your switch on when you go to work, but yet we don't insure ourselves. It doesn't make any sense to me. Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You gotta go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season, because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts. From gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boom mats, Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325. For all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
When your tractor has a flat, you're stuck. When your truck's on a construction site and a tire goes down, you're in trouble. You need help. So you call down to Blair, and they come to you. They answer the phone, and somebody comes to wherever you are to fix your problem. They carry Firestone, Michelin, and some other tires. Blair Tire and Feed. Highway 283 and 19. On-site tire service. 563-2692. 563-2692. They come to you.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Here is your Northwestern Oklahoma ag weather. I've chosen Freedom today. Dew points at 58, humidity's at 30%. The winds are out of the southeast at 11 miles an hour. No rainfall today. They have a shower come through, I guess so. 10-day rain total here, 0.05 hundredths of an inch. 3-day average 4-inch soil, bare soil temperature that is 85 degrees. Fractional water 0.1. And sunset day tonight will be at 8:07. Isn't that moon been just gorgeous the last two nights? It doesn't get any better than that. Today, 96 degrees. The winds will be out of the south, southeast at 12 miles an hour. Tonight, 63. Same thing. Southeast wind, 7 to 12. Tomorrow, it's hot. 97 degrees and south winds, 6 to 12 miles an hour. Okay, here's part two of, I hope this works out good. See how good I am with this computer. Here's part two with my conversation with Gary McManus, Oklahoma State climatologist and Oklahoma Mesonet guru, I call him. If you see on Oklahoma Mesonet on Facebook, if you see the crazy memes and the really funny stuff, that's him. He's got a sense of humor. So here we go.
All right, welcome back to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, and I have state climatologist Gary McManus on here. And before we go any further in our conversation, I want to tell you your new upgrades to the Oklahoma Mesonet are wonderful. That's top notch. You guys got to be the top of the Mesonets in the U.S. Am I right or wrong? Brag on yourself a little bit here.
Yeah, I think that is definitely brag worthy. I think we were the first official statewide Mesonet, and we're probably still the best, in my opinion. And I'm not biased at all, really.
No.
A lot of the states that have come in with Mesonets have emulated what we've done here in Oklahoma. And, you know, that's important because we have a lot of value to the state of Oklahoma, especially with some of our outreach programs, our OK First, which teaches all the emergency managers across the state how to use the weather data from the Mesonet and from NOAA. How to use that data to keep their constituents safe, and our OK Fire program, which helps the ag community with doing prescribed burners, and also teaching the firefighters how to use our data to keep the firefighters safe. So a lot of effort and love and care with the Mesonet over the last 30 years. We are going into our 30th anniversary celebration in 2024.
Really? I didn't know that.
That has certainly been great for the state of Oklahoma.
We'll have to have a big Oklahoma Mesonet week on Today in Ag out here, and have you and some other people that have helped with that deal come on maybe for a segment each day just to celebrate that. That's pretty cool.
You bet. That sounds great.
Yeah, and they because I use the West Texas Mesonet also on my program just because we have a lot of listeners out in the eastern part of the Texas Panhandle. And I'm not saying theirs is bad,
I'm just saying you guys is awesome. How's that? And so
I'll just say we had a bit of a head start. Let's put it that way.
Yes, you could tell. And it looks like the Kansas Mezzanets come a long ways too.
Right. As you know, so now we have the Western and Northwest Oklahoma surrounded by Mezzanet stations, and the National Weather Service folks, when they're looking at the forecast and what's coming up for Western Oklahoma, they can look at the West Texas Mezzanet and see any weather moving in. You know, up and beyond, like satellites and radars and things, it does help to know exactly where that wind shift is for fires and for the dry line and storm initiation and all that stuff. So it's important that we export this Mezzanet expertise to other states, because that helps keep us safe in a different way.
Oh yeah, when I was growing up, we had three channels. I think Channel 4, Channel 9, and Amarillo Channel. And we listened to Amarillo Channel for weather because we knew what was coming at us then. And then,
exactly.
And then here come Mr. Gary. And the world changed when Doppler radar got out there. And, oh, man. And it's really awesome because I think it saved a lot of lives. I mean,
oh yeah, definitely. And you know, we had it even worse up in Buffalo because we were out of the range of everybody's radar. You know,
yeah.
Channel 4 and Channel 9, it would end at like Woodward, and so we would have to wait. This is crazy. We would have to wait until at night, whenever the television signal would come through on our TV from like a station in Dodge City, and it would only come through at night. It would just sort of fade in because something about changes in the atmosphere and the signal. So we would wait for that signal to come in, and then we could see the Dodge City radar and see what was coming. So it's very different now. We're certainly aging ourselves here, but it's very different now. People don't realize how good that we have it now versus what we had back in the day.
Oh yeah, let's not forget storm chasers. So.
Yeah, storm chasers, they do help, you know. Basically everything that goes on now.
Oh yeah, when we see storm chasers and helicopters show up around Elk City, we're going ruh-roh. So.
Yes, exactly. So
that's our warning system now. When you see them parked out on the corner of Highway 34 and 55 there at Carter, Oklahoma, you know we're in trouble. So they're good. So.
Yeah, you don't watch the cattle see if they're turning to the northwest anymore. You know, you just watch for storm chasers.
Depends on how bad the flies are that day. You know, the cattle, that cattle deal could throw you off because they might be in that corner over there because of the flies. But, you know, we got a backup system out here. The turtles crossing the road always helps with the warnings. So we're pretty good.
Still have the horny toads out there too.
Oh yes, man. There's in the last 5 years, the horny toads have made such a massive comeback from the drought of 2011. It's not even funny. It's awesome to see those horny toads. And
you bet.
A lot of these kids didn't even know what they were. So anyway, they're coming back. Well, they the Mezzanet sites. Let's talk about them.
Sure.
Let's, and I know you go through a lot of data and you might not remember some of this stuff, but, back in, you know, we had a very dry winter and, some areas like down south around Frederick and down in that area, they got some rains during the spring. So their wheat crops wasn't too bad. And we all made some wheat, but it wasn't just what we thought. And then the rains moved in, the weeds started growing and, man, it just, you know, I guess that's why they call it farming, because you never know what's coming your way. I know we were in that drought for the last year and a half was more, I think myself, I'm not a climatologist, but right. I think that drought was worse than we thought, because even after all the rains, I mean, 20 inches of rain in 6 weeks in some areas around here, which, you know, I know up around Buffalo and out and around Beaver and Slap Out and stuff, they got double their normal yearly rainfall. But to me, digging some post holes or doing something out there, all this rain soaked in really well, and it just kept on going. we were drier. Did the mesonet stations that you had all over the state, did it tell you the same thing, that we were really drier than what we thought we were, even though, you know, the drought monitor showed us we was in a D2, D3, and D4, but it just seemed like it was really dry.
Right, and that's one of the conflicts that I have with sort of my work with the U.S. Drought Monitor as the Oklahoma so-called local expert providing input. Now, that national author gets the final say. You know, I can only suggest, and they go by drought index values generally, and it's percentile and things of that nature, so it's the data-driven stuff, whereas I generally look at impact, because, you know, the ground doesn't care, and you ag folks don't care what the instruments are saying. You know exactly how dry it is. The ground doesn't care if it said you had 16 inches of rain if it's dry. So when I look at the mesonet, that's one of the things I mentioned previously. You know, I think we focus so much on that heavy rain from the northwest down through central Oklahoma that we sort of miss the other areas around it, and it sort of grabbed our attention. So I think the west central Oklahoma, the Elk City area, that region, I think it came back into abnormally dry conditions and in moderate drought much quicker than what we expected. And again, due to those rainfalls catching our eye, because once those rains end and the sun comes out and the heat goes up, the moisture goes away pretty quickly. And it, like you said, it soaks in really well, but it's not hard to soak in. So, and of course you have the crops coming alive, and so it gets used pretty quickly, and it really is a shock how fast we can go back into drought in Oklahoma. And I think that's exactly what occurred as we got further into the summer this year.
Well, one of the factors, not the only factor, but besides just being out there, physically being out there, is, you know, the North Fork of the Red River, I think, has got like 2,400 square miles of drainage into it, and it starts out in the Panhandle, Texas, and ends up at Lillard Lake down there. And, you know, Lillard was right at 20% full on its capacity when all these rains started, and even with 12, 14, 16, and 20 inches of rain through that conservation basin through there, you know, Lillard's only 30% full still. So that shows you there wasn't much runoff as you think there was.
Exactly. I mean, that's one of the things we see, like when the Oklahoma City releases water from Canton to get that water for Oklahoma City's use, the water has to go travel through those riverbeds, and it's getting sucked down as it goes through, and it's getting evaporated. The same thing with the water that flows into the Lugard Altus. So, you know, the water has to physically get there. It makes that long trip down the riverbed, and, you know, it's getting used along the way and evaporated. So, you really need the more localized rain to fill it really quickly, unfortunately.
Right. Yeah. Like, what was that, 19? Out here in western Oklahoma, we got 2 8-inch rains like a couple weeks apart. Well, that filled Lugard up pretty quick. Matter of fact, the floodgates come open pretty quick also, because we went down there and they had one open, and we got there. I don't know how lucky that was. Coincidental, I guess. And anyway, they started opening them all up, and I still got that video. That was a sight to see. And so, yeah, that's what we need. We need some heavy rains, because that's kind of what happened after the 2011 drought. You know, there in 2015 is when it kind of officially ended, when we got like a 5-inch rain in July. And all of a sudden, oh, that's water in our ponds. We haven't seen that in 5 or 6 years.
Right.
But anyway, so.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
If you're like most people in business, you use a computer to get your everyday tasks done. And if something goes wrong with it, you're looking for someone to help you get it fixed and fast. And these days, function efficiently without one. Computers save us time and money. So here's my question to you. Who are you going to call when you have computer problems? The innovative technology team near Atwoods in Elk City can help. Wouldn't it be handy to call someone that's willing to come to you and fix the issue? You can even bring your computer in and they'll take a look at it. Think of the peace of mind you'll have. A team of computer people you can call when issues arise. And they will. Just pick up the phone, give them a call at 243-1559. 243-1559. They'll come right out and get you back up and running again. They have IT plans that'll work for any business. Innovative technology serving Elk City and the surrounding area since 1981. 243-1559. Check them out online at ITLPros.com.
From local town councils to Capitol Hill, agents who are realtors are standing up for what's right. We're here protecting property rights. Here advocating for the issues that affect our neighborhoods. Here championing fair and equitable housing for all. Because we are realtors, bound by a code of ethics, driven to serve our communities. We're here for it all. Here for you. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors. That's who we are.
The Elk City Rodeo is more than just a rodeo. It's getting together with family and friends, standing up for the American flag and for what's right, pride, and who we are. Hi, everybody. Wayne Brooks here, inviting you to the 85th anniversary of the Elk City Rodeo this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Brought to you by Doug Gray Dodge and Ram. Tickets are on sale online at elkcityrodeo.com and Circle Westware and the Arena Ticket Office. The Elk City Rodeo this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Stockyards Weekly Cattle Sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the hay wagon from Everett Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache hay wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, I got a happy birthday for somebody. Krista is there at the Fowler Insurance in Elk City. She turned 26 years old today. Anyway, I think 26, 25 or 26. So happy birthday, Krista. Hope you have a good one. Anyway, let's see. Ag weather at Tipton, Oklahoma. 94 degrees. Feels like 93, dew point's 58, humidity's 30%, the winds are out of the southeast at 10 miles an hour, 24-hour rainfall, 0, 10-day rainfall, 0, 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 89 degrees, pretty warm ground down there. 1-day average 10-inch, nothing available there, fractional water, nothing available there, sunset is at 8:04, delay, hot, 100 degrees, believe we're going to get there tonight, 66 degrees, winds out of southeast at 7 to 12 miles an hour, tomorrow, hot, 99 degrees, and winds out of southeast, 7 to 10 miles an hour. Now, I hope you guys enjoyed that conversation with Gary McManus, Oklahoma State Climatologist. I got one more part. I'll play it Monday. We'll finish up on talking about he's got they're going to have some new stuff coming in to be installed into the resident sites for basically agriculture. And I won't even that surprise. We'll play that Monday. Okay, let's see. Let's check out some updates and hay. According to the USDA milk production report, the U.S. totaled 19.1 billion pounds of milk production in July. Yes, and I double checked that. 19.1 billion pounds of milk production. This is 0.5% less than last year. And the number of milk cows on U.S. farms is down 13,000 head from last year in July. July 2022. Cattle on feed report states cattle and calves on feed for the slaughter market in the U.S. for feedlots with capacity of 1,000 head or more totaled 11 million as of August 1st. That's down 2% from last year. Cattle and calves placed in feedlots totaled 1.62 million head, which is 8% below 2022, and marking of fed cattle was 5% below 2022 at 1.73 million head. All right, let's check out the hay report. Doesn't look like much has changed really at all. If anything, some states are down, but some states are higher. California, premium alfalfa is going anywhere from 225 to 350, and at 350 being delivered. Good alfalfa in California, 165 to 180. Then let's check out Kansas, 280 to 325 for premium, and that's per ton, that's not delivered. 235 delivered to 315 on good quality alfalfa. As you guys, if you've seen the U.S. drought monitor lately, Kansas is in pretty bad shape. Missouri's up in alfalfa. It was running about 180 to 250. Now it's running 200 to 300 with very drought conditions going on for premium. And looks like 150 to 200 for good alfalfa. Nebraska, it's creeping up a little bit with their drought, ongoing drought, 240 to 250 for premium. Alfalfa, 170 to 230 for good. Oklahoma, I don't think there's a lot of alfalfa sales reported in Oklahoma because I know this market's a little different than what it's saying right here. Oklahoma's 225 for premium alfalfa delivered, 200 to 225 delivered for good alfalfa. I think it's maybe a tad better than that. It's kind of hard to tell depending on what their delivery fee was here. So anyway, Texas is 340 delivered to 425 for premium, 310 to 340 delivered on both of those prices for good alfalfa. And it looks like the highest is basically New Mexico, premium alfalfa, $400 a ton. Good alfalfa, $295 a ton. Check out some grass hay prices. Let's start with Kansas, 180 to 300 per ton for premium. Missouri's 225. Oklahoma, nothing available. Nebraska's at 200. Pennsylvania's somewhere between 275 and 350 for premium grass, and that's not delivered. Down south, to our neighbor to the south, 240 to 400 on premium grass hay. And it looks like Washington and Texas tied for the highest reported at $400 per ton on grass hay. Not so good. So what is so crucial about the fall cutting of alfalfa? Well, let's talk about it. The critical fall period for alfalfa has been said to start about 6 weeks before the first killing frost, which is roughly around the first week of September for most of the Midwest. This hard stop in harvest schedules is supposed to ensure plants store enough energy and their roots to survive the winter. But with improved alfalfa varieties, variable stand conditions, and warmer weather patterns, how critical can this really be? How critical is this period? Despite heat indices recently reaching the triple digits, and some parts of central U.S., temperatures will likely calm down as we flip the calendar from August to September. The sun is also setting mostly earlier each day, and a combination of milder temperatures and shorter day lengths send a signal to alfalfa to prepare for the fall dormancy. Alfalfa will begin translocating energy produced through photosynthesis to its root system instead of using those carbohydrates to fuel vegetable growth and forage development. Plants perform the cycle after each cutting during the growing season, but they need to stock up extra energy this time of the year, like a squirrel who stores acorns in the hollowed-out tree for hibernation. Alfalfa stores energy in its crown to survive the winter and kickstart growth again in the spring. Better forage quality achieved by autumn weather may make farmers to squeeze in one last cutting from their fields. They've taken a hasty harvest of alfalfa when plants are in the process of moving. All this good stuff, from the shoots to the roots, can make them more vulnerable to winter kill and jeopardize future forage productivity. While the best solution is usually to skip this final cut, there are some situations where fall harvest may be less risky, if not justified. Now, that fall dormancy is made only correlated with winter survival and improved varieties, there is some more wiggle room for harvesting alfalfa past the critical period. For example, forage with the fall dormancy rating of 4 or 5 will go later in the season compared to forage with a fall dormancy rating of 2 or 3. However, the two varieties can be equally winter hardy. Alfalfa needs a high fall dormancy rating to warrant a late harvest. This allows forage to actively accumulate growing degree units after it's cut to facilitate the flow of carbohydrates to plant crowns. It generally takes about 500 growing degree units before a carrying frost for root reserves can be to be adequately replenished. And alfalfa with a higher fall dormancy rating has a better chance of hitting that target. A forage marked for a fall harvest must also have a high level of winter survival. The winter survival index is in a scale from 1 to 6, which represents extremely winter hardy to not winter hardy. How's that? 1 to 6. Improved genetics are no match for Mother Nature, though, and an unexpected freeze can uproot the argument for winter cutting. Growing an improved variety with too high of fall dormancy rating for a particular reason can also impair alfalfa's ability to effectively go dormant before cold temperature burst. Soil fertility also factors into late season cuttings, especially when it comes to potassium. This nutrient is crucial for the conversion of photosynthesis to store form as well as translocation of nutrients to plant roots. Potassium is also imperative for overwintering and perennial forage persistence. If this nutrient is deficient in the soil, plants may have a hard time recovering from the fall cutting and living to the next spring. There you have it. Hope you learned something there. We always waited it. Even unless we just see a 9-line bind like last year for hay for the winter, sometimes you gotta do what you gotta do, but you know, alfalfa is a long-term parent, so you need to babysit it every year, not just one of these others. Okay, let's see here. I got a cool story coming out of Wyoming. When rancher Guy Edwards discovered that 48 of his sheep were missing, he assumed that they were long gone, but in what appears to be a strange case of unresting, all the other sheep have reappeared in his pasture. Edwards told the Cowboy State Daily that the missing sheep will return to the 22-acre pasture sometime between July 10th and July 21st. There are still 32 yearling ewes missing from the ranch that belong to Edward's father, Rich. Edward knows it sounds strange that the sheep would be returned, and people will certainly question his birth. I think there were some wolves got it, but anyway, then returned them and couldn't even get the phone. Anyway, I know people are going to say, we didn't count right. We counted them 5 times. I'm a brand inspector. I will hope I can count. After the ewes were stolen, Edward said he found tire tracks near a fence in his pasture. He thinks that's where the ewes were gathered and loaded into a trailer. He credits Facebook and news reports with getting the word out about the disappearance of the sheep and thinks the rustlers might have got them cold feet. A Facebook post on Edward's page was shared 1,600 times. Edwards believes that the media attention made the rustlers nervous about trying to sell the sheep. Somebody must have gotten awful damn nervous, he said. That's all I can think. He said the Campbell County Sheriff's Office and the Wyoming Livestock Board have stayed busy investigating this case. anyone with information on this, they can call the county sheriff. I think that's what's going on down south of here. You know, the equipment and the tailhead of cows and bulls that were stolen from down there south and west of Willow. That's why they're farming cattle all over the place from 34 Highway all the way over east to Triggers, down south, down on Elk Creek, headed towards Sentinel. And that's what happened there. The wrestlers got a little cold feet because they're all looking for. I think there's two cows and three cows, two backers and a red one still missing. D3 is a bearing on them. All right, hope you guys enjoyed the show today. We'll see you Tuesday. God bless.